Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for January 7th, 2024, the first Sunday after the Epiphany by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So I've extended our Christmas celebration by a day. Epiphany was yesterday, and we had a magnificent concert with the 12th Night Singers. Thanks so much, Jen, for arranging that. Thanks for everyone who helped. And this is supposed to now be the Sunday after Epiphany, but I didn't want to let go of Epiphany. I wanted one more day to celebrate the three kings, to sing these wonderful hymns, which we only get once a year anyway, and to focus on the message of Epiphany, which I think is so vital and so important and so timely for us today. Message of Epiphany, well, there are many messages, of course. We have the wise men who came to pay homage to Jesus, joining that wonderful collection of weirdo characters that show up at the stable, the shepherds, right, who are the untouchables out in the field. They get the message from the angels. The people in Jerusalem didn't get it, but the shepherds out in the field did. And then who are these guys coming from Persia or Africa or who knows where? These magi, these astrologers, these scientists, mystics, who saw something in the sky and said, there's an amazing event happening. And because of their star maps, they believed that everything on Earth corresponded to something in the heavens. And so they looked at that quadrant of the sky and they said, that is Judea. And so they came and went to the capital and met King Herod. King Herod, who represents the dark side of Christmas. King Herod, who did not greet the news of the birth of the Messiah with joy and expectation, but instead with dread, with fear, and with violence. 2 days after Christmas, there is a feast day, the slaughter of the holy innocents. Because when Herod figured out the date that the star had appeared from the wise men, he sent his soldiers to kill every baby, every male baby born at around that same time, just to make sure that he wiped out this potential threat. We often think that we live in dark times, right? We look at the news and we think things are terrible. Things were so much easier back in the old days. It was much simpler. But the story of Herod reminds us that Jesus was born not into some fantasy world where everything was perfect, but into a world just like ours. A world in which the powers that be were threatened by this message of salvation. A world in which the people of Israel were oppressed by the Roman Empire. A world of fear and violence, just like our world today. And into this world came this miracle, this amazing promise, the birth of Jesus, heralded by the star. And the Magi are a representation that this good news was not just for one tribe, not just for one nation, but it was good news for the entire world. You see, this was a message that was already in the Hebrew Bible, in the scriptures, but had somehow gotten lost. The people of Jesus' time, the religious leaders of Israel, were a lot like people today as well. They saw the good news in terms of what's in it for me, right? All these different groups were vying for power and authority, right? Well, the Pharisees aren't talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees aren't talking to the scribes, and nobody wants to deal with the Samaritans, who once were just like the Jews, had the same books of the Bible, but had gotten separated. And of course, the Gentiles were way out of the picture. You didn't eat food with Gentiles. You didn't associate with them. You didn't talk to them. They were untouchable. And yet, here come these Magi. Guess what they are? Gentiles. They are foreigners, but they see the star as good news. The shepherds were untouchables, but they heard the song of the angels, and they heard the good news. And all of these people gathered at the feet of the baby Jesus and offered their gifts. They knew that this message of salvation was for them as well. This had been prophesied in the prophet Isaiah that we heard today. Already there was this idea that the chosenness of Israel was not just for them, but it was for the whole world, to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles, that their message that they had received through Moses and all the prophets was good news for all people everywhere. This was reiterated in the Psalms. It's also why Jesus in his earthly ministry refused to be bound by the rules of his day. He met with the Samaritan woman at the well, untouchable. Don't talk to her, have nothing to do with her. And he offered her the water of life. He healed the Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. He kept breaking beyond the boundaries that people had established for him, because he knew that his message of love and salvation was for all people. It's why St. Paul, against the wishes of the church, the early church in Jerusalem, kept going to the Gentile lands and baptizing and teaching and bringing people in to the fellowship of the church. It's why we're here today. Very few of us were raised Jewish, and yet we know that this message of salvation that came from Israel, from Jesus, is for us, whatever our background, whatever our nationality of origin, whatever our situation. When God looks at this world, you know, God doesn't see what we see. We see all the boundaries. When I was a kid, I had to learn geography, probably my worst subject. If you ask me the capitals of the 50 states, I can get about 12 out of 50, probably. If you ask me to draw maps of where nations are, I'm not very good at that, right? But we're good at, we like those boundaries. We like to know who's in and who's out, who's part of our group and who's outside. We specialize as human beings in who's in and who's out, who's with us and who's against us. We're really good at that. We're better wall makers than bridge builders, venture to say, over time, in almost every case. But I don't know about you, I think it was in the 60s, you know, the first space travel, there were those beautiful pictures of the Earth. Do you remember the first time you saw a picture from space of the Earth? And you saw how beautiful this blue-green marble floating in space is, how precious and amazing it is. And you look down and you could kind of pick out the continents, and you could see the oceans, and there were clouds and the North Pole and the South Pole. You know what you didn't see? You didn't see any lines marking who belongs where. You didn't see any nation states. You didn't see any divisions of culture or race or power or money. All that looked so pointless when you stepped back and took the big view. And I like to think that is how God looks at all of us. We're so obsessed with our tribes, whatever they may be. But what God sees when he looks at us is that view of the whole fragile earth, our island home, as the prayer book puts it. What God sees is a whole world of people that he came to love and to save in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. That's what the shepherds knew when they came to see this amazing thing. It's what the Magi knew when they looked in the heavens and saw this sign and came came to bring whatever gifts they could, gold for his royalty and myrrh for his humanity and incense for his priesthood, symbolic gifts to represent a little baby who was vulnerable and weak, who became a refugee when he went to Egypt, when Herod was trying to wipe him out, but who was and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray that as we think about the Epiphany this year, that we might have a little epiphany of our own, that we might see that all the human-made constructs that separate us from each other in the end mean nothing. That when we think about us and them, in the end, there is no them. There is only us. Us, we who have the privilege of being part of one beloved planet that God has spent so much effort to create and to love and to redeem. That we might see in the faces of others, even those we are afraid of, even those we dislike, even those we feel separate from, that we might see the image of the God of love. So as we wrap up this Christmastide with an extra day of Epiphany today, I want to close by reading a short poem that was written by Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman, who was one of the inspirations for Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote this beautiful poem about what to do when Christmas is done. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. I heard some great music in my heart last night, and I hope that we continue to hear the music of God's love for us and for this whole world.